Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to my podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com. I try to upload something to that once a week. I was doing a really good job, but I got super busy last week. I had a fighter who was on the card. I had a couple fighters on the card in Australia, and I just wasn't able to get time away between helping cut weight and fight preparation. I just wasn't able to get time away to make sure I did the right kind of study before I did the podcast. And even with that, I still wasn't able to get in the stadium fights that I wanted to get into. So next week, I'm going to try to sit down, do at least 10 fights from the stadiums. There was a big show on the 10th of November, and I want to make sure I get all that stadium stuff to you. I just got super, super busy. So you're going to get to the show, the blog. Like I said, I usually upload once a week, once every 2 weeks. The next and most efficient way to get the podcast is by entering Warman Kickfighting Show into the iTunes search engine. That or LORDGAUL, Lord Gaul, my username when I first fell in love with the sport, back when I was on Kakatugi and K1 USA and K1 Fans. That is the way to get to my podcast show. So I'm going to go ahead and jump into the action. If you follow me on Twitter, you would have seen a lot of the comments that I had about the Glory card, but I want to go ahead and go through the fights, fight by fight. Give you a good idea of kind of what you got, what I was thinking, what a lot of these events unfolded, excuse me. Anatoly Moiseev, as I mentioned before, I'm just a huge fan of his. Awesome kickboxer. He went ahead and he did. I thought he was going to stop Teo Mekalik, but I thought Mekalik did a good job being game. Was really tough, but Moiseev showed a lot of skill, and he's had a very busy year. He's been competing in a lot of different promotions. I love his activity. I love that he's a guy who you can rely on to put on an entertaining fight. He is a fight between him and anybody, Steve Moxon, Jordan Watson. Those are the kind of fights I want to see him in next. Another international name. This is another name of a guy they've used in the promotion before, but I want to go ahead and see them move Anatoly Moiseev forward. If they're going to go with a UFC model, if that's the goal, is for them to have those types of cards, something that I think they're going to do a lot more of next year now that they are, on ESPN and they're not on spikes, they don't have to worry about making sure there's enough Americans on each card and that kind of stuff, whatever. Now they should go ahead and start to move guys like how the UFC would move guys. So they use them twice this year. Next year they get to use them three times, four times. They get to use them with a guy who's been around for a little while, a guy whose name can push him forward. So I definitely want to see that type of fight for him next. So like I said, a Steve Moxon works for me. A Reese McAllister fight would be awesome. There's a lot of good things that they could do. So Anatoly Moiseev, I really want to see more of you down the road. You've got every skill. Your combination low kick game is legit. Plus, you've got the right type of flash offense that you use at the right time with spinning hook kicks and jump kicks and high kicks and jumping knees and that kind of stuff. He has a lot of fun out there. I want to see more of Anatoly Moiseev. Going to go ahead and go into the next fight. In the Stefano Bruno versus Hassan Rodwan fight, it's interesting because I went with Rodwan because I thought that he was going to get it done with his work rate. And for moments, it looked all right. But I'm telling you, Stefan Bruno, he just had that pop. And KO pop matters a lot in this. And Bruno really came out strong in the second. And I thought that despite that early start by Rodwan, it looked like that, the writing was on the wall. It was just a matter of time. Three knockdown rule was in effect, and the fight was stopped. It was a good win for Stefano Bruno. Again, this fight was between two Italians. I thought for sure that this fight would produce, or was put on the card more because they wanted it, an Italian versus Italian fight, because I made sure that there was a win on this Glory card alongside of Georgia Petrosian, who I think they were probably feeling like there was going to be a win for sure there. But man, I really thought that Bruno getting this win was good stuff. I'd like to see him more down the road. I do think he still loses to the more elite guys in Glory. Any regular name, I think he loses to those guys. But Stefano Bruno gets a big KO stoppage here, and he moves forward. And he only moves forward if the promotion moves him forward. So it looks like they're going to be focusing on Europe for a little while when they go into the next year. They're not coming back to America till May, I heard. So that means when they do their card in January, February, March, April, if they put three cards together over that period of time, I got to imagine that, two of those three at least will be in the Europe, the European market. So I'm really excited to see what they do and what kind of card they produce. And hopefully if they're back in England or if they're back in, if they go back to France or if they use any European country, I want to see him on the card. In particular, I'd love it if they went back to Russia because, you know, with Vakhadov and Anatoly Moiseev, they've got some fighters that I think would do good on those cards. I want to see Stefano Bruno get an opportunity against an opponent on one of those cards. In a fight that I definitely picked wrong, Vittorio Lermano gets a KO. It was a cut stoppage over Samir Bakhtiyarov. It was the kind of fight where it's like, I thought that Bakhtiyarov was the better fighter, and I thought that he was lining, but I thought that Lermano was having his moments, and then he scored a big knee, I want to say, if I'm remembering it correctly, and the big knee opened up a cut, and then the ref checked it out, and they called it. It's a fight that, you know, the skill, I think that I picked right as far as skill goes, but you got to put in knees and stoppage. A KO punch and a knee that cuts you really has the same result. If they say you can't continue, you can't continue. So as far as getting your hand raised, that's what matters a lot. So Masaki Nori, for example, you can make the argument that I thought that he was down on the cards when he was going against Liam Harrison. Knee comes up there, bang, scores it and cuts him, gets the stoppage victory. And of course, it's upsetting because you put in a lot of work and you want to be physically unable to fight. You don't want a cut to stop you from fighting. But that's what happened here. Lermano gets the victory. Don't know how much of a future I think Lermano has. I think that he'll be a steady name that they could use in the European market. He'd be a good guy if you wanted to use a guy from the States to go against a guy on an international record. But I'm not the highest on Lermano's skill, but we will see after this because this is a solid victory for him. In the fight of the night for myself, Artem Vakhadov gets a three-round decision over Daniel Yunga, and it was just an awesome fight. It was what you expected to see. Vakhadov combinations, gets his kickboxing game going. Daniel Yunga, he can always eat shots, comes back with his own game, keeps his kicks and his combination flows flowing. He's good about biting down and pushing back. And at points, Vakhadov is just a little bit slicker, able to move a little bit more, able to land combinations a little bit better. I still thought that Yunga was able to control where the fight happened. He was able to walk Vakhadov down at certain periods of time. He made Vakhadov fight backwards. It just was a really great showing by both guys. It was just an awesome fight. It really was. It was a close fight. Artem Vakhadov gets the win. I want to see him fight Saul Kalavari for the title, particularly if they want to do that in, like I said, Russia. Hopefully the glory goes to Russia next year. I want to see Artem Vakhadov. I really think he's a talented guy, and the more I see him fight, the more I'm entertained by the product that he presents. He's an awesome fighter. Daniel Yunga, I've been sold on him for a while. I've been talking about him on this podcast show since he was a Showtime champion, since he had the weird fight where, him and Wendell Roche is a guy I talk about a lot because they had similar styles when they first met. And then I remember Roman Wojcicki, he trained with Wendell Roche for a while. And then when he started training with Daniel Yunga, he says, hey, man, you're going to have to, like, score and then, you know, score, then move, score, then move. You can't play toughness with this guy because he's a really tough guy. So Daniel Yunga ends up winning the Glory 95, KG Championship, it's Showtime 95 KG Championship or 93 KG Championship, and he wins that because he was a little bit slicker than Wendell Roche, who was a bite down in the mouthpiece, walk forward guy, and that's what Daniel was. He was a younger version of that. And then you watch what happened over those years. His kickboxing got better. His combination low kick game got better. You look at, fights like Dustin Jacoby, where his low kick game was on point for that one. He just really grew as a fighter. His step-up knees have always been awesome. And no matter how many shots that he takes, he's still had the KO power to really get guys out of there. Look at the Stoika fight, for example. He's an awesome fighter. This was an awesome fight. He got the loss here, but really he is probably the third our fourth best guy in the division, but he's not that far away from the Saul Kalavaris and the Artem Vakhadovs. He's just outside of them. So I'm really excited that he, competed well, and they're going to use him next month. He's going to be a replacement, and he's going to fight Musad Bouzidi. So it's awesome that he is not only put on this great performance, but he's a prize fighter, and he's ready to get back in there to compete again. Artem Vakhadov, like I said before, I want to see him fight for the title next. In a fight that is the opposite of what we just talked about, we had an uglier affair between Sahir Adamachek as he gets the featherweight championship victory over Gabriel Varga. A lot of holding, got a little nasty there. Early, it's just as technical as they are. I really thought that See, here, Adam and Chuck would be slick enough, move the right way, find the right kind of offense. And then every once in a while, Gabriel Varga would get into his, you know, his offense with his combination flows and so on. But it just got groundy. It was a lot of holding. It just wasn't what it was supposed to be. I mean, for as good as these guys are, this fight didn't live up to expectations. And so here in Amanchak, you know, it's crazy because he was in a pretty entertaining fight in his first Glory affair when he went against Gregorian. You know, he came out and he played a slick moving game and he scored well and got up in the first round against Gregorian. Gregorian comes back in the second round, gets his work rate going. And then the third round, Amanchak's back to his slick movement. And that's against a bigger guy. Here with Gabriel Varga, more his weight class, I was expecting a lot more clean kickboxing. Maybe not the most activity, but I thought that the kickboxing would be clean, and it was not. It was an ugly affair. Forgettable fight, which is unfortunate because it was a title fight. But see here, Adam Chuck, rightfully your Glory winner. Moving forward, who would I want to see him fight? It's crazy because sometimes you want the champion to get a rematch right away. This isn't one of those cases because of the nature of the victory and the fact that Gabriel Varga only had the title from winning it to, you know, get some Mustafa Mirani to this one. So I will take... First of all, I take his gym mate, Ilias Belaid, but they haven't done enough moving of their 143-pound division in general. They haven't moved enough guys for us to be like, okay, I want to match him with this guy. But, you know, Ilias Belaid, they're not going to use him. He's a gym mate. But the Japanese, of course, have got several options. Misaki Nori could come in and fight for it. I want to see an Eastern name. I would love to see somebody from Japan get that opportunity. I'm excited to see this one moving forward. It'll be interesting. So here, Adam Shuck's got you've got to be a technician to really like his style. But I did enjoy that he was able to come from out of nowhere to being the champion. And he is probably going to be my breakout fighter of the year. In fact, I'll go ahead and say it. My breakout fighter of the year has to be Sahara Ademchuk. To go from a guy who took a fight on short notice to winning the Glory Featherweight Championship a couple months later. It really is a great year for him. And I'm excited to see more of him moving forward. We move into the main card. Welterweight tournament starts off with Mirtha Grinhart, who just, you know, pretty much steamrolled Nicole Gala. Mirtha really pushed the pace, got his offense going, got those step-up knees going. Very, very skilled fighter, and he brings that heat. I thought that when this fight was made, you know, I was like, all right, I think he's going to win by KO. He ended up winning by TKO, cut stoppage. But Mirtha Grinhart, there's a certain level of athlete that he just brings the heat in and he tries to kill those guys. Nicola Gola is the type of guy that Grinhart would try to kill. So good stuff by Mirtha. He gets the victory, moves on. Kareem Gaji. I've been so high in Kareem Gaji, and I wanted to go for him yet again in this fight, in this tournament. And first of all, his fight with Johan Kangulo was awesome. Very technical, fair combinations and kicks by both guys. Good scores by both guys. It was a close fight. I mean, I thought, you know, Gaji got one, Kangulo got two, and then I had Gaji winning the third. But really, entertaining fight. Could have gone either way. But the most important thing is Kareem Gaji, who I've been so high on, this was the kind of performance that really let people know why I feel he's such an entertaining brand of kickboxing and why I want to see him compete more. He ends up losing to Mirtha Grinhart in the tournament final. Mirtha had the awesome start in the beginning where he was able to score that down, you know, right away, was throwing kill shots against Kareem Gaji. But Kareem Gaji gets up, but he doesn't just get up and wait up the fight. He gets up and battles back, and he starts throwing mean combinations. His combination of low kick game was super strong the whole tournament, and he just really fired back. He ended up losing. Mirtha Grinhart goes on for the rematch with Nicky Holtzkin, but Kareem Gaji, he proved what I needed to see from him. He proved that he is as good as I thought, and that he's a Glory level competitor, because that win over Johan Kangulo was legit. As far as who do I want to see him fight next, man, I would take a Lomano fight, you know, or a Bruno fight. Those guys float, you know, between, I've seen them fight between the 170 and 154 kind of, you know, pounds range. So either of those fights work for him, but just activity. If they do a card next year, I would love it. If they do something in January, if they do late January or February, I want to see him on that card. I really do want to see a lot more Kareem Gaji. Mirtha Grinhart, of course, he moves into the rematch with Nicky Holtzkin. And for those who didn't see the first Nicky Holtzkin fight, definitely go on to YouTube right now and check it out. If you want to talk about scores, Myrtle Grinhart outscored Nikki Holtzgen. Like, he was able to score in combinations and move, combinations and move. The problem was Nikki Holtzgen just kept walking him down into the corners. And when he did throw it, it just looked so bad. It looked like Nikki Holtzgen was just throwing with so much heat and was so strong. And it looked like Myrtle Grinhart was just back in the corners and trying to escape. And then when it went to an extra round, Nikki thought he was winning because he was walking him down. Myrtle Grinhart thought he was winning because he had the most scores. And in the end, they decided to go on the cards to Nikki Holtzgen. I want to see if Nikki Holtzgen can produce more offense, because Myrtle Grinhart definitely got scores in the first fight. So give that fight a shot if you disagree with me. But I want to see it. It's going to be an entertaining fight. And it looks like Myrtle Grinhart's healthy, so he'll go into this a month later. It's not a lot of time, but he'll go into that title match, and I'm excited to see it. Next fight I'm going to talk about is Georgia Petrosian as he makes his glory return. Petrosian is just an awesome fighter. I still believe he's the best fighter in the world at 70 kgs. I do believe that there are a few guys that can give him some trouble, but I think that it's going to be tough to win a three-round decision over him. I thought that he was slick with his step-back counters. His kick location's always been smooth. His 3-2, his 1-2s have always been smooth. His counter game, he follows the hook with the hook really well. So if you throw your left hook, he throws his right hook really well behind it. He's a slick, slick, awesome fighter. I do believe that Josh Johnsy did fantastic. But the thing that I was bringing up on Twitter is people forget that Josh Johnsy is in Canada and he's closing the gap on these elite guys in training. Like just training camps. That's what he does. He trains, you know, combination style, Dutch style. He'll go over to Holland for a little bit, then he'll go back to to Canada. But man, he is trying to catch. He's trying to fill the gap, not by getting experience, by getting fights. He'd do it if we could, but now because he's as good as he is, he's going to have trouble fighting on the line fights and so on. Even though he's got the same amount of fights as those guys, he is closing the gap on some of the best fighters in the world with straight up gym time. And that's just incredible. It is incredible. Clearly, you've got to have the athlete good enough to do it, with the temperament to do it. But it just, you got to be an exceptional fighter to pull that off. And he asked for this fight, and he went out there. He made a good count for himself. The third round, I felt, was his best round. He got the body kicks going a little bit, let his hands go a little bit more. But man, kudos to Josh Johnsy. You know, hats off to him. He called out the best guy in the world. He wanted to see where he stood, and he went three rounds with him. I want to see Josh Johnsy fight pretty much anybody. He's another guy. Give him a Steve Moxon, for sure. Give him a Steve Moxon, a Reese McAllister. Give him those type of guys, Jordan Watson. There's a lot of guys at that weight class that would be an entertaining fight for him. Move him forward despite this loss. Keep using him. Keep using him. And use him on international cards like this. He is not a guy who needs you to come to the States. He's not a guy who needs to be a part of your American-built brand. He's a guy who's going to fill any card in the world, compete against anybody in the world, and give them a good fight and beat a lot of those guys. So I'm hoping to see more of Josh Johnsy moving forward. And Georgia Petrosian, no question about it. I want to see him fight the champion. And we'll get into the Robin Van Roosmalen win in a little bit. But Giorgio is still the man. He is still an awesome fighter. We go into the said championship fight. So the argument that we have to make here, first of all, the scorecards were all 48-47 for Robin Van Roosmalen. Most people were going crazy, crime robbery, really upset. I'll just go ahead and say it. Off of view, I can definitely make the argument that Robin Van Roosmalen won rounds 4 and 5. I think that he did a better job of throwing in combination flows. I think he got into his counter flow well, and I thought Sidichai's work rate went down. I also noticed that there seems to be a misunderstanding in kind of how the rules are scored. And I want to make some arguments for both cases. Number one, forced to the shot. One of the arguments that Robin Roosmalen's camp came up with, and he himself posted, is, you know, this isn't Muay Thai. He said it's kickboxing, and they score combination punches, and they call it score low kicks. And he said that I was blocking all the body kicks. The reason why I would have, you know, an argument with that a little bit is because when you kick someone's leg, you're kicking a limb. So if you kick someone's arm, aren't you kicking a limb? And I don't necessarily feel like the block hand got over, just like I don't feel like a check got up. So sometimes he'd throw the kick strong, and a lot of the times I thought Robin was protecting his head in those spots. But if that kick gets in clean to the body and moves you, that's a score, in my opinion. Whereas I feel like the Glory team felt like if it doesn't hit your body, or excuse me, the Ruzmala team felt like if it doesn't hit your body, it doesn't, you know, score. It's got to hit under the arm for it to count, or it's the teep's got to go through the middle, or it's got to count to the leg. So that's why he felt like he was scoring the low kicks. The third round is kind of the round where I wonder, that's kind of the one that I felt one and two were clear. I thought one and two were clear. Not only was Robin Van Roosmalen not scoring offense, you know, and not getting, you know, return offense, Sidney Shai was scoring big with hands, with body kicks, with knees, and he was moving. I thought Robin didn't get going. I thought in the third round, Sidney Shai slowed. And I think sometimes he slowed, maybe he felt like he was up, but he slowed down. And I thought that that's when Robin got going a little bit, but I still had Sidney Shai winning that round. But rounds four and five, I really truly believe, even though the argument is still there for Sidney Shai winning all the rounds with his, you know, with his kind of body or arm kicks, I could still see that same thing that you know, Bukau struggled with when Bukau was in his prime. Remember, he had the fight with Albert Krause, and Krause ended up winning a decision in an extra round because Bukau was scoring a bunch of kicks to the body and they didn't give him any love for it. So there was a history of, you know, Thai fighters not getting the love for kicking to the arms and, you know, to the body. But I don't feel that this was as wide as other people had it. I can make the argument after looking at it a couple times of Robin Van Roosmalen winning rounds four and five. I can make that argument. I'm not saying that, you know, if you still had Sidney Shai winning every round, I'm fine with it. I'm not going crazy. I'm just saying that I can make the argument in those two rounds. I had Sidney Shai winning. I had him winning, you know, felt confident in giving him three rounds. But I'm telling you, rounds four and five, I can see Robin Van Roosmalen's camp being right about that. So then it just kind of comes down to how you saw the third round. And I felt that Sidney Shai won that round, but man, I'm not going crazy over it. I can make an argument for four and five. I can't make as much of an argument for three. But this one, I didn't feel as big a robbery as I felt in fights before. Like when Bukau fought Albert Krause in, I want to say it was in a Showtime event in Holland, that one was like a clear one-sided beatdown for Bukau. And when he lost that decision, that was like, I truly felt gutted. And that one felt like a robbery to me. This one, as I watched it, and I watched it a couple times, I do believe Sidney Shai won. I didn't feel robbery as much because, man, I can make arguments for him in four and five. And if I can make arguments for him in two rounds of a five-round fight, then I'm not going to cry robbery. I'll just say I believe the wrong guy won. And I did think that Sidney Shai won this fight. But, man, I've got no problems with people feeling Robin Van Roosmalen won 4 and 5. I guess I got a little bit closer than everybody else. All in all, I thought that the Glory event was really, really entertaining. I was super excited that, man, it's... The crowd was, good to see people in the audience. They had a decent crowd. Not super full, but decent. Good to see that Petrosian still got some supporters. Good to see that, you know, it's cool to have a champion win some fights. So, Robin Van Roosmalen, I'm not upset that you won this at all. I like that your work rate's getting you more opportunities. Bring in the next guy. You know what I'm saying? Whoever they use, bring in the next guy. You went out there. You fought Sidney Shai tough. You definitely brought it in that second half of the fight. He was throwing heat in 4 and 5. So, I like that there's a reigning champion. It gives value to the title when you win it. You don't want it to just kind of keep changing hands. There'd be nothing worse for the featherweight division than for Adam and Chuck to lose the fight next. Because then it'd be like the title just changes hands by whoever's up there. We got to have some consistency at the top. In particular, because you're not doing a tournament format. If you're doing a tournament format every year where it's like, who's the winner of this year? Which is what my preference for kickboxing would be, I'm not going to lie. Then in that format, I don't mind if Bukau wins one year and the next year Sauer wins and the next year Masato wins. That doesn't bother me. If you're going to have one title holder, though, and you're going to play that game where your title holder defends like, you know, 2 or 3 times a year, then I want him to be able to defend for 3 or 4 fights before he loses it. I want value to be added, and value can only be added to the title when you defend it for a while. And for those MMA heads, reason why the Holly Holm victory was so big this past weekend is because Ronda had defended it several times and she had won in dominant fashion. She put value on winning that title. That's what you have to have for these titles. So you've got to have that. And the heavyweight title, you know, mixed martial arts is struggling. And boxing, the heavyweight title, is struggling. Consistency at the top matters a lot. And there is consistency in some of the athletes in boxing and MMA. But this was one of those where I was like, man... I want Robin Van Roosmalen to reign for, you know, this. Give me one more title defense. Then if he loses it, awesome, because you've got the next kind of up-and-coming challenger for it. If he keeps it for several fights, that's awesome, too. All in all, I enjoyed the card. I'm excited about the Holland card next. I'm going to go ahead and take it to Japan, where we've got the huge, the championship card from K-1 World Grand Prix, where they are going to have four fights. I wish these were five-rounders. I'm pretty sure they're three-rounders. These got to be five-rounders. I mean, they just got to be. That's the only problem with it. But other than that, they're four champions at 55, 60, 60, what is it, 63 kgs? 65, 60, 55, and 70 kgs are going to be competing. So it's 60 and 65. 63.5 was that pretend weight class that they had for a little while there. But this is 65 is an actual weight class. So pretty excited to go ahead and go into these fights. I'll start talking about some of the ones on the undercard before I talk about the four champions in Takuru, Urabe, Gregorian, and Fairtex. Those are the champions. I'll talk about them in a little bit. But first, I'll go ahead and break down some of the underfight cards. This event goes down on the 21st, so you got a couple of days. It might happen at like super early in the morning or midnight. Just kind of depends on where you are. But let's go ahead and have some fun and go through them. Not going to go through the whole card, but let's talk about some notable names. They continue to use Masaru Gunder, which is awesome. He's going to go against Ren Hiromoto. Ren is coming off of the fight with Minoru Kimura, where he had an okay game plan, but it just wasn't a matter, you know, it was a matter of time before Kimura caught him with one of those big shots. Phillip can throw heat. Ren was, you know, dropped. He ended up losing a decision, but he put on a decent performance. Masaru Glender is much more aggressive with other strikes, so he's not just hands. He's got the big knees, the step-ups. I think Masaru Glender is going to bring the pressure. I think he's going to land something big with the knee, score down at some period of time, and I think he's going to win a three-round decision. I love that they're using him. I'm still shocked that they're using Glender and they're not using Elias Blade more. They've already had Blade on the card before. I think it's the fact that Glender got the victory over Masaki Nori that's kind of, and you know, got he won him over with the promotion. But man, I just think that it's awesome that they're using Glender. He really is a talented fighter, and I want to see more of him down the road. Him getting on the card just had me excited. He's a really solid name. I'm excited about seeing more from him moving forward. Next fight I'm going to talk about is Tega versus Leona Pettis, and it's an interesting fight. I'm a big fan of Tega. I think that this is a victory. I don't know if this fight matches up with the rest of the skill level on the whole card, but I will take it. I definitely think that Tega gets the victory over Leona Pettis. I'm going to go ahead and move into the 70 kgs, where a familiar name for those of you who are K1 fans, Hiroki Nakajima is going to take on Russian fighter Dmitry Grofov. I'm always going to lean towards the Russian brand of kickboxing and Muay Thai over the Japanese brand, just because I think some of the Japanese fighters get hit too much. One of the cool things about Koya Urobe is he doesn't get hit a lot. He's very technical. He's got good head movement. He's a lot more savvy with his movement than other fighters. Whereas Hiroki Nakajima is one of those bite down. If you look at some of those Rise cards, Crush cards, those guys just be looking to bang sometimes. And I think Nakajima is a guy who, he's never been elite, but he's always offered, you know, good competition. He's pushed the pace well, but he loses to a guy like Dmitry Grofov. And I got Grofov winning this fight. Dmitry could, you know, underwhelm, and I could see Hiroki winning a close fight, but I definitely going to lean towards Grofov getting the victory over Nakajima. Next fight, this is an awesome one. Yosomi Soda, as he takes on Masaki Nori. I'm going with Masaki Nori. I think Masaki Nori is the best 65 kg fighter in the world. I think that if he gets a rematch with Minoru, if he gets the fight that took him off was a Glender fight. I think he wins the Glender fight in a rematch. I think he can beat both Fairtex and Kimura. Clearly, Fairtex is going to be tough for anybody, so I'm not making that easy pick. I'm just saying that I like Nori's tools, and I can picture him winning a kickboxing match there. Soda's awesome. Soda's an awesome fighter. He lost in the final of the tournament last year after, you know, having a good run. He's got the the good wins over Yuta Kubo. I want to see him compete more. He's going to be a mainstay in K1. He's one of the Japanese fighters that they've backed and they've pushed pretty well. But he loses to Masaki Nori. I just think Masaki Nori's got more tools. The only thing that Masaki Nori makes a mistake of every once in a while is he plays behind his guard too much. So that's why people start looking for knees and that kind of stuff. And they start getting off offense because he just looks to play defense and have a sharp guard. And fire his low kicks. His low kicks, he does a variation where he'll throw low kicks. He has a short chopping low kick. He has a knee to the leg, and he brings his heel around, and he'll, like, score to the leg. He'll literally take the heel of his foot, bring it around, and score it into the thigh, right into the vein, and score that shot well. And he just builds on it, and then if you look at his fight with Elias Blade, by the time you get to the third round, you've taken a lot of damage to the leg, and you take it down to it due to it because you let Masaki Nori go to work. So it just has the hands. He can score down in some period of time, but, man, I got to go Masaki Nori because he's my kid, and I've been following him since he was 16. So him being special means something to me. I've got him winning this fight. Let's go ahead and break down the championship fights. First of all, Takuro wins against Charles, Bongiovanni. And I think Bongiovanni is a solid fighter. I think he's going to put up decent resistance. But I believe that Takuro has got a huge advantage. I just believe he's a straight killer right now. And I think that anybody who gets in there, you got to worry about that heat because he throws those hands and he's not looking to go to a decision. I think Takuro is going to win by stoppage in this one. He's an entertaining brand of fighting. Anybody who watches any of his fights, you usually come away with, okay, that was worth my time, that was worth my money. This guy's legit, and I want to see him compete over and over and over. Glad that they've got him on this platform because 55 kgs is a small weight. Not a lot of guys are competing on that low. So for them to, you know, give him the opportunity, and, you know, I would love to see, now that Damian Trainor's coming back, maybe Damian Trainor can come over and compete for this title down the road. I want to see him compete still. And Takuro is just, he's all action. So definitely got Takuro winning and retaining the 55 kg championship. In the brother versus brother match of Koya Urube versus Hirotaka Urube, it's interesting because Koya for a while competed bigger. He competed in the 63.5 kg tournament. Koya is a guy who I first was introduced to by the Koshin fights that they used to have when they were trying to build up, you know, the young stars of the future. And I mentioned it before, Koya Urube is actually a guy who he took runner, you know, he's runner up one year, but I just watched him and his skill set, and I watched him fight and rise and a couple of the Japanese promotions. And I just thought that, man, this guy's super savvy. And in one of those K1 cards, he wasn't in the tournament, but he was in the single fight. And I was like, this guy's got good defense. He's got a good right hook. He's got good understanding of distance. His low kick game is on point. I really like Koya Urube. I want to see him down the road. Then he moves down to 60 kgs. And the first time, as soon as I saw it, I was like, he's going to win it. The only problem is if he runs into the other really good guy, which happens to be his brother, Hirotaka Urube. Has the KO power, has the resume. He's very, very skilled, you know. And these two, when they fought the first time, I was fine with their work rate. And it was in a tournament, and Hirotaka had taken some damage because he was in a pretty good fight earlier in the card with Javier Hernandez. But then I look at Urube, who really ran through his guys, with low kicks and I think a knee. I think it was a knee that caused a strange kind of down that got him the first victory. And then he won by low kicks in the second fight against Yamamoto. And I was like, all right, he had what happens in tournaments. You need to have, you know, be dominant, but you got to have some things going your way. And getting stoppages is having things go your way. So Koya Urube moves on. Hirotaka definitely went through more. And then the fight itself wasn't as violent as people were thinking. So people wondered if they were kind of play sparring or if it was just meant to be light because they were brothers. I truly believe that Hirotaka does not like being number two, and I think that he wants to be Koya Urube. But I think Koya Urube is better than him. This is a fight that I want to be five rounds. I think it's going to be entertaining. I think Hirotaka is going to have his moments. But I just like Koya Urube. I just think he's just that much slicker. He's a little bit more skilled than his brothers. Because he fought the bigger weight, he's hardened to take the bigger shots. I've got Koya Urube winning and retaining his championship title. It's always crazy to see brothers fight for real, but you know, it was entertaining for me the first time, but it wasn't as violent because of the damage that Hirotaka took into it. We'll see what happens now. Murat Gagorin is going to go against Sonny Dalback. Sonny Dalback's an interesting guy because there are fights where I was like, you know what, Sonny's going to lose. He's been spending a lot of time in Thailand, and he does body kicks more than low kicks. But he's still savvy, and he's got good scores with his hooks, and he sneaks the knee up in there. Sonny Dalback's very talented. Murat Grigoryan, you know what you're getting. He's got that pace. He won all of his. He won his K-1 World Grand Prix with 3 stoppages, and that's pretty awesome to do. Who you fight matters. He ain't fought nobody like Sonny Dalback in that tournament. He ran through some guys who were talented, but not to Dalback's level. I truly believe that Grigoryan's going to have a lot of moments, and his style could give him the win in this fight. But I'm leaning towards Sonny Dalback winning the title. I just think that he's the right kind of skilled. He really is the kind of guy who should be fighting on the glory level on a regular basis. But he ended up in K1, where he's been fighting consistently, and he lost in the tournament. But despite that loss, I truly believe that he's skilled enough to win this fight. I got Sonny Dalback beating Murat Grigoryan in what's going to be an all-action awesome fight. There's not one fight in this card where I'm like, all right, you guys, don't watch this one. It's going to be dragged out. I think these are going to be entertaining fights. The fight that I think is going to have the strangest pace about it is Kufertek versus Minoru Kimura. When they fought earlier this year, the difference in the fight was Fairtex clearly winning the kickboxing easy. 2 rounds, winning it easy. 3rd round gets into exchange, and Phillips got that crazy power where Philip Kimura gets a big shot, scores it down. They go to the cards, and one of the judges that scored the 2nd round 10-10, or 2 of the judges scored the 2nd round even, and then that meant that Philip had won the fight thanks to the 10-8 round in the 3rd. I thought Fairtex was the better kickboxer there. I think he's the better kickboxer still. Philip Kimura, there are guys that he can walk through and find his offense on. I just don't think Ku Fairtex is one of them. I think Ku is going to be able to get into his flow early. I think he's going to have some offensive success. I think that if it goes to an extra round, it's only because Fairtex didn't build enough on his offense. But as far as skill goes, he's going to land effective offense, more effective offense than Philip Kimura, who needs to land something. And anytime you need to land something against a Thai, I think that that's a tough proposition. I think Kufertek retains. So in review, Kufertek retains his title, of which I think he'll fight Masaki Nori next. But he retains his title. Sonny Dalback will win the title from Murat Grigoryan. And then I got Koya Rube retaining the title as well as Takuru. It should be a fun card. If you get the opportunity, watch these fights. There'll be a lot of, you know, people who, you know, are posting streams. Look at liverkick.com. They'll usually post a stream, something like that. But for the most part, these will pop up online almost instantly the next day. You'll see them all over YouTube and so on. Watch these fights. Watch this brand of kickboxing. It really is the highest. K1's found their home. They found their home 70 kgs and under. And even though Glory's got a better 70 kg, you know, workforce, 65 kgs in Japan is way better than Glory 65, their featherweight division. Not even close. Way better. So we'll see what happens moving forward. And I really want to see more of these guys compete. And I want to see these fights get out to the people. Should be a lot of fun. Going to go ahead and news and notes. Sidichai versus Yojin Klai is set for December on Kunlun. For those who are hearing this, don't get excited about this at all. At all. Why? There's a chance that the fight could happen. I'm not saying that the fight won't happen. But there was also a rumor that Yosin Klab was going to go against Georgia Petrosian. And that didn't happen. So anytime you hear this kind of stuff, just go ahead, take it with a grain of salt. Go ahead, calm down. Just realize, all right, it'd be cool if it happens. But I'm not putting my stock in it happening. Definitely be careful about, you know, getting your hopes up over this type of card. Big time upset in Romania at Super Combat on the 7th. Where Javier Loren Jorge gets a victory over Andre Stoica. The 3 knockdowns, just a clean, dominant performance. It's crazy because Loren Javier Jorge is a guy who I have picked before in the past. When he was going against Mirko Krokop, I was like, this is going to be his big win. Clearly, when he went against Tyrone Spong, I was like, he's not winning this one. But when his showtime started to go, you know, to Spain, he was getting a lot of opportunities to fight in those cards and make a big name for himself. And he was losing those fights. He was getting step-up fights, but he was losing them. When this fight was made, I was like, all right, you know, Loren, I know you've lost to Daniel Younger. I know you've lost Tyrone Spong. Those guys are awesome. Those guys are elite guys. Mirko Krokop is older. You're going to get him. And he wasn't able to do it. So when this fight was made, I'm thinking, okay, Stoic has been doing, you know, Loren's been doing good. He's been fighting on Super Combat for a while, fighting here and there. He's going to go ahead and compete well, but lose to Andre Stoica. And he absolutely blitzed him. Landed a lot of big offense with the hands. Gets the KO. He stays in a weird spot. You know, he's the cruiserweight champion. I'm almost certain that they're going to make him rematch now. Or, excuse me, he's the super cruiserweight champion, you know, Lauren Jorge. I think that they're probably going to let him defend a couple. It'd be cool if they let him defend a couple of times. But in my mind, as soon as Stoica's ready to go, he's ready to go. So they'll probably do that fight again. But we'll see. Sometimes you get hit and there's nothing you could do about it. But big time win for Jorge Loren. Like I said before, I wasn't able to get into the stadium notes as much as I'd like to. I will say that, you know, for those wondering, the Glory card, the 26th, it's going to be same situation, ESPN3 live, but there'll be two-day delay and it'll be an ESPN2. For those wondering, it did around 200,000 on views, which is amazing because there was absolutely no advertisement for it at all. So only the midnight show was the one that people were able to sit around and watch. And it's not like they were pumping it at all. There was no advertisement for it. The deal was made the fight before. So you weren't told about it and then be like, I'm going to go check this out. For them to do 200,000 like that, to get numbers that are like somewhat close to the numbers that they had on Glory when they were promoted, that's pretty insane. And it kind of comes down to just people go to SportsCenter for sports. So they will sit down and say, hey, what's going on here? What's going on in the sporting world? And, you know, ESPN3 and ESPN2, because they do international soccer, you know, like Premier League, like the European Championships, we've already got an audience of people who've already moved into this country from other parts of the world who will sit down and go to those channels knowing that, okay, this is where I can find a channel that perhaps is going to show the team that I support back when I was in, you know, my home country. And sure enough, you'll see this kickboxing event and you'll go, oh, I know some of the guys in the car. They're from where I'm from. That's how stuff like that grows. Now they've got a little bit of time, even on the delay, because the ESPN delay that they had was later that night. So on delay, there's an opportunity for them to really, you know, do well. So, I mean, I am excited about it. Clearly, it's happening on the 6th. Not as big fan of that, the rematch. It's 8 p.m. Eastern time of the ESPN2. The reason why I'm not a big fan of that is because that's football. American football is huge. You usually probably want to leave Sunday alone for the most part. But I do think that there's going to be a good crowd to watch this, and it should be entertaining. For those of you that want more of a breakdown, there's the K1, the Champions title fights breakdown done by Dave Walter of Liverkick.com. Go ahead and check that out for those who are interested. I'm going to go ahead and wrap the show up with that. I will try to be back next week. It's a promise. I'm going to break down a lot of stadium fights, at least 10 stadium fights next week, because I know I've got a strong, you know, fan base who's asked me about those stadium fights. I'm definitely going to sit down and break those down for sure. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Thank you for following kickboxing. Thank you for supporting the athletes and the sport that I love. So thank you very much. I'll get on it. I'll be making some fight highlights for you guys. I think I want to start focusing on stuff like the heart of fighting, the mood of fighting. The very end of my Shin on Shin series, I had a kickboxer just cut off the end part where I was just describing what it takes to get into the cage get into the ring and work back and forth with another athlete and the kind of congratulations, the reason why athletes hug and your celebration. And when he cut that part off and he just put that part on his Facebook page, it just made me feel good. You know, I was like, man, I'm glad that it's going to heart like that. So I want to do something special for the sport that I love and the Muay Thai and kickboxers that I follow. So highlights are coming. Thanks very much, everybody. God bless, and you guys all be safe. Peace.